He's letting us walk out of here with our heads high, Jones agreed grudgingly. I'll say that for Montcalm.
Overhead, the white flag stirred in a sudden fit of breeze that threatened to clear the battle smoke, but brought no relief from the heat. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart.
Reginald said, Do you go and form up your men, Jones. Make ready to march.
Aye, sir.
Jones saluted, gaze still fixed on Reginald's cradling arms.
Am I to be congratulating you, Cap... Major, sir? Is it a son?
Reginald looked down at what he carried. A corner of its wrappings had shifted. He freed a hand to settle it back in place.
That it is.
All my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee.
Oh, that's good, then. And your wife, she's well?
She is alive, God be thanked.
The words all but choked him. The lieutenant's mouth flattened.
For myself, I'd be more inclined toward thanking Providence, had it seen fit to prod Webb off his backside.
It occurred to Reginald he ought to have reprimanded Jones for that remark, but not before the lieutenant had trudged off through the mill of bloodied, filthy soldier flesh to gather the men of his company in preparation for surrender. Aye, it might have gone much worse. At least his men weren't fated to rot in some fetid French prison, awaiting ransom or exchange. Or worst of terrors, given over to their Indians.
My heart panteth, my strength faileth me.
As for Major Reginald Aubrey, of His Majesty's Royal Americans, he and his wife were condemned to live and to grieve. Turning to carry out the sentence, he descended back into the casemate, in his arms the body of his infant son, born as the last French cannon thundered. Dead but half an hour passed. The resounding silence brought on by the ceasefire gave way to a tide of lesser noise as soldiers and civilians made ready to remove to the entrenched encampment outside the fort, hard by the road to Fort Edward. There the surviving garrison would wait out the night. Morning promised a French escort and the chance to put the horrors of William Henry behind them. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Reginald Aubrey, ducked inside the subterranean hospital, forced to step aside from the path of a surgeon spattered in gore. The balding, sweating man drew up, recognizing him.
Your wife, sir, best wake her and judge of her condition. If she cannot be moved, well, pray God she can be. Those who cannot will be left under French care. But I'd not want a wife of mine so left, not with the savages sure to rush in with the officers.
We neither of us shall stay behind.
Reginald turned a shoulder when the surgeon's gaze dropped to the still bundle. He'd been alone with his son when it happened. Spent after 20 hours of wrenching labour, Helleth had barely glimpsed the child before succumbing to exhaustion. She'd slept since on the narrow cot, the babe she'd fought so long to birth nested in the curve of her arm. Craving the light his son had shed in that dark place, Reginald had returned to them, had come in softly, had bent to admire his offspring's tiny, pinched face, only to find the precious light had flickered and gone out. A hatchet to his chest could not have struck a deeper blow. He clapped a hand to his mouth, expecting his life's blood to gush forth from the wound. When it hadn't, he'd taken up the tiny body, still pliable in its wrappings, and left his sleeping wife to wander the shadowed casemate. Gutted behind a mask of pleasantry as those he passed offered weary felicitations, until he met Lieutenant Jones outside.
How was he to tell Helleth?